Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Manning the Watch with Doc. I am Doc, and I have the watch for the next hour. Well,
good morning.
Good morning.
This is Dad. Yeah. Didn't get introduced.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody.
I guess we're doing it that way. I'm not allowed to take a breath or anything over here. Holy moly. Well, with that, I guess we'll just jump right on into it then.
Good morning, Mr. Frank.
How are you?
So, big news on the news is the, I'm just going to go right into it, the Marines and the family members that were the accident that killed seven of them on the motorcycles back east. I know Monday morning the police tracked the young man down and they took him into custody. It's changed a couple of times since they've had him in custody, vehicular manslaughter, something else. The person that runs Massachusetts version of like our DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, that person stepped down out of it may have been premature, but anyways, that's on them. But their system, this young man just got a DUI just like 2 months ago, and it hadn't shown up yet, and his commercial license had been suspended. And then they also came up not too long ago, a year or two, he had a rollover accident in Texas, I believe it was.
And he's only 23 years old.
Young. He's got DUIs and everything. He should not have been driving at that time. I don't know the details. We've seen the videos. We've seen the pictures, you know, with the motorcycles scattered everywhere and the truck and the trailer up into the trees there on fire. You know, he left the scene, so there's no, you know, blood alcohol levels or anything like that. So, you know, all of those folks that, you know, they've plastered their faces on the news. They want everybody to know, you know, those people, those Marines, those family members, and rightfully so. And there's a couple of different organizations and groups that are circling around that to try to make sure that those families can, you know, get through that, financially through that, too. Because, you know, you're not really, I know it wouldn't be really, I don't have deep pockets to, you know, process all of that. But I hope those family members, I believe there was three other riders with them. A couple of them went to the hospital and, you know, they're going through, you know,
survivor's guilt.
Exactly, you know.
Well, my understanding is that he was actually the gentleman that hit the bike riders. He was working, so he was driving.
He was on the job.
Company vehicle. And what I read is that the police actually interviewed him on scene and released him. So they knew who he was and all of that, and he went back home.
Mm-hmm.
So they had already known who he was, but, you know, you're right on the whole thing. Like, did he get a DUI test, a sobriety test, anything like that? And I don't know because I haven't read if they did or didn't. But, you know, the seven victims range from 42 to 62 years old.
Yeah.
You know, they were on their way to a veterans-related fundraiser.
To a fundraiser. Yeah. I remember them saying
that's what they do every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just had the funeral for the seven of them, and they had over 400 bikers come to the funeral to support the families. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You know, we have such an amazing veteran community, and people went from or came from all over the area to go attend those funerals.
Well, at I don't want to say after party, but after the funeral, when all the bikes were together and all the people were together, they were doing, you know, we're guys. I'm just going to say that we like to spin the tires on our bikes and our hot rods and stuff. And there's this really cool video they put out last night. There's like, I don't know, 15 or 20 of them just sitting there, just spinning their tires and smoking it out and all. And I thought that was pretty cool, you know.
Well, what gets me, again, he's 23 years old, and he had previous DUIs. At what point do you learn a lesson, you know?
Because technically, he's only, I'm throwing up big old air quotes, he's only legal to drink for 2 years.
I just, it's incredible. You made a mistake. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And thankfully, when he made his mistakes, he hadn't hurt anybody. But you should have learned a lesson from that. And clearly, he didn't. And it's sad. And the article that I read said that he was swerving during the entire drive. And then the bikers that kind of witnessed everything that happened said that he just swerved into them. So he was reckless. Now, whether it was alcohol or, you know, drugs or whatever it could be, we don't know yet. It's pretty sad. I mean, he had some warnings, and he should have taken those warnings to heart and made some changes.
And 7 lives have been lost because of him. Now, for us, they were veterans, so it makes it a little closer for all of us. But 7 human beings lost their lives because of the action of one person. So with that being said, all the knuckleheads driving up and down I-5 between Reading and Anderson need to be thinking the same thing. But over the last few weeks, and I've been telling Aileen this, because we travel between, because we live in Cottonwood, we're in Reading, you know, often, probably too much, and all, but we see a lot of it, you know, we see it going both directions. Now I'm starting to see what I'm calling the speed police. Just some Joe just driving down in the left lane on purpose, doing 55 and not getting out of the way. Well, when you're several cars back, now you can start seeing those knuckleheads. Now they're getting more aggressive. Instead of just swinging around somebody on the right-hand side and blasting by them and going, now they're pushing it to try to get around someone. Just get out of their way. If they want to speed, just let them speed. Because if you hold them up, you're just causing their anxiety to escalate to do something even more drastic. We just had an accident earlier this week on the 299 at the very bottom of Buckhorn Pass, coming towards town. What is that? Hatchery Creek, whatever that is, where the old, there used to be a, I don't want to say prison, but there was a low level camp out there, for guys serving time for their DUI years and years ago. They were, a red SUV was coming towards town, was behind some people, went across the double yellow line into the shoulder on the other side to pass cars, oncoming cars, and then ended up going head-on into a semi, and the driver died. The driver of the reckless vehicle died, not the driver of the semi. That's just baffling. First, you're going around a double yellow line on a curve, on a long curve. You go past the oncoming traffic, and on that, we're way outside of anything, of any excuse of anybody being able to say, well, I lost control a little bit. So, you know.
But see, I think one of the best things I have ever purchased was the cameras for my car and your car.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, I think it was $180 at Best Buy. And, you know, I've caught a T-bone accident right in front of me. And, you know, the video was crystal clear. I even offered it to the police department, you know.
But when we talked to him, to the officer a couple hours later, it was the person who caused the accident. Remember, they had spun it that it was the other gentleman's fault. And we're all like, no, here, watch the video, and you can clearly see.
See, but, you know, I had a kid in my car, and this was in the middle of summer, and I had groceries. And it's this fine line. Nobody was hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do? I don't want to stay here and wait for the police. I have groceries. If I didn't have things that was going to melt.
And it wasn't an emergency.
No, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, everybody was fine. But the best thing was purchasing that camera, and I've caught so many near misses and so many, you know, stupidity, really, that.
Well, when you see the people, your light turns green and the oncoming side turn lane, they're still zipping through that. You're like, okay, that's a bit much. Well, that was a heck of a segment right there. We're going to take a quick break. Thank you for listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Attention all hands.
Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know, nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Hey, North State sports fans, this is Brent Weber. I'm the host of Scorecard Scribblings from The Sports Guy. Me, Brent Weber. It's a blast. It's a chance to get some of my old friends on to chat about sports and meet some new folks, too, that can tell us what's happening out there, not just in the North State, but around the world in sports. So be sure and join us. That's Wednesday nights at 6.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back to Manning the Watch with Doc. Welcome back to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Well, that segment went by a lot quicker than I thought it was. I didn't think that conversation was going to get that deep. But before we go on any further, we had to cut off a caller last week because we basically ran out of time. And if she would like to call back, Aileen and I would definitely like to finish that conversation. We were talking about PTSD and the VA and whatnot. So if you're out there listening, you can call back. We would definitely enjoy talking to you and continuing that conversation. But past that, right now, it was a couple of things that I found on our local news channel. I like KRCR and all those guys are always nice to me. And, one thing, Jennifer Scarborough is finally, she's retiring. I remember her from way back before I joined the military and all. She used to come into a place I worked and, you know, and stuff. She was super nice and all. So she's finally stepping down and going to spend some time with her kids and all that. So, you know, congratulations to her. I hope I can completely retire at one point. I've tried to retire, and I'm busier now than I was when I was working full time. One of the big things that I noticed on the news is the first stick-built house built from the ground up, is complete at the car fire, and I think it's out by Keswick Dam somewhere. That family just started moving into that house this week. So it's been 11-ish months, right at 11 months since the fire. And there's other homes out there. They're modular homes that they've brought in, you know, and everything. But this is the first one that was built from the ground up. So, you know, congratulations to those folks that have been living in RVs or you know, however they've been keeping themselves, you know, warm and dry, you know, and all. So that's a big thing. And the other thing that I've seen that popped up is everybody who drives down I-5, the giant flag up there on the north side of Bocelli Lane, it's a small flag right now. And they are replacing the large flag, because you can, when the wind's going, you can really see that thing from, you know,
sail a yacht with that thing.
It's pretty big. But I read on here, it's the Enterprise Lions Club. They're the ones that are replacing that flag. So that's good to go. That's becoming quite an iconic thing when you're driving through town. On one of the brochures I seen a year or two ago, you know, they've got the Sky Needle is, you know, one thing, but then a good picture of that with Mount Bali kind of in the background is pretty good. Yes, Frank?
From what I understand, they're doing a progression between now and the 4th of July.
Yes.
What they're doing, a small flag, and then they're going to take it down and put a little larger flag,
gotcha,
and so forth.
Okay.
Until they get back up to the big flag for the 4th of July.
To the big one.
Which is,
yeah,
the first time they're doing this progression.
Which is kind of cool. I like that. That's pretty good. I hope there's some good photographers out there that take pictures of all of that, because that's something that should be on the, you know, the City of Reading website, you know, and I'm sure Turtle Bay will have that on theirs, you know, because that's a kind of an iconic part now of coming into town. Just to me, the flagpole itself, when you drive over there in a parking lot where it's at, like, holy moly, that thing is huge, you know.
It's become an unintentional icon for Reading.
Yes, and it's kind of odd or silly, because somewhere else, I don't remember where it is, Texas or Mississippi or somewhere right in there, there's a car dealership that has a giant flag like that, and they keep getting fined every day from their city because the flag is too big, and the flag kind of whips out over the highway right there. Well, so does this one, but I don't know, what's that, 80 feet up? It's not like it's going to catch the top of a semi driving by. And the owner of that car dealership said he'll pay the fine. It's like $50 a day, and he refuses to take it down, and I stand behind him on that. It's not obstructing anything, and you know, we have one here there in Anderson at the where the trailers are, you know,
yeah,
and the RVs and everything. That's a huge one right there as well.
It's just a matter of principle.
It's an American flag. Now, if we were flying something different, you know, okay, hey, that's kind of a little bit obnoxious, but it's an American flag. If I want to put a flag on my fence out in front of my house for the 4th of July or something, or Veterans Day, no one's going to tell me to take it down. Even if I lived in a homeowners association, for one day, you can deal with it. And if you don't like that, well, then you're in the wrong country as far as I'm concerned. And that flag represents more than your little homeowners association things and all. For one day, you can deal with it. And
it's an all-weather flag, too.
Yes.
It's a special-made flag, and it costs over $5,000.
Yeah. Oh, that thing's huge. I would like to know the dimensions on that thing. It's probably the square footage is probably bigger than my house. You know.
Oh, I know it's bigger than mine. Well,
yeah, you live in a little place now. You and Mom have sized down here lately. But the other thing that was I caught on the news as a corpsman, as Aileen and I are both corpsmen, when we got out, you couldn't do anything. As a corpsman, you couldn't even do phlebotomy, taking someone's blood or anything. There was no way to relate what we did in the military to a civilian job. Well, they're finally have come around with that. And I know that's something that the military and the VA and who knows who else in different states have really tried to make those connections of what we do, what we're trained to do in the military, what does it relate to out in here? And corpsmen, medical, and I'm sure Army medics and Air Force medics is the same way. This just happens to be two corpsmen, and they were talking about it's called Navy COOL, and unfortunately nowhere in here does it say what that actually stands for, but the program, they go through that program And when they get out, they are a phlebotomy technologist representative, whatever the heck that means. But it's better than nothing. It's definitely better than nothing. Now, what I did as a corpsman and what Aileen did as a corpsman really are two vastly different things. We might as well have been trained completely different. But what I did was way more along the lines of an EMT or you know, or anything, or baby docs, because that's what you guys, the Marines, called us, baby docs and all. And what Aileen did when she was in, working in the different wards and everything, none of that equated over. You still had to go out and challenge.
It would seem like what Aileen did would transfer directly. Yeah. I mean, you were taking care of patients. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, in California, if you're in the medical field in the military, so not just corpsmen, but, you know, the medics, you can apply for a CNA license. You don't have to take the classes and you don't have to take the courses. But as many of you know, a CNA job is a step down from what I've done as a corpsman or what corpsmen or medics do. And there's nothing wrong with it being a CNA. It was a great opportunity, but I almost felt like I would have to reprogram myself because a lot of what I was used to doing, you know, putting IVs, drawing blood, administering medications, doing vital signs, it's not what a CNA does. And so I really toyed with the idea of, do I do this or do I not do this? And at the end of the day, I decided not to do it. But I believe that's a California thing. I don't think that's statewide. So, you know, there might be other states that have the same rule. So for me, at the end of the day, that wasn't really an option. But then I felt like I've gotten out of the military. What's next? Thankfully, at the age that I got out, I used my GI Bill because that's what was next for me, was a college education. But right now, a lot of our peers that are still in the military, in order for you to rank up, you have to have a college degree. And I'm wondering if it's from all of us veterans getting out of the service and going, hey, you know what? We did years for you, and now we can't get a civilian job that's equivalent to what we did for the U.S. government. So now they're saying, hey, if you want to rank up, you have to have a college degree, which to me is a little funny because, you know, if I have a college degree and I'm in the military, I won't be an officer.
Not an E.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no. But, you know, we know people that couldn't rank up, so their time to do what they needed to do in order to achieve the higher rank had lapsed. And they were let go of the military. You know, after 17 years in, if you were let go of the military because you couldn't get a college degree, I'd be a little upset.
Yeah.
You know?
But even in the Navy itself, there's still a discrepancy. Because everything I did as a line corpsman, and then I go to the hospital where we met, and the nurse there said, oh, you're not even – you got to go do this course to do IVs. You know how many IVs I've given? I've given IVs to Marines on moving Humvees at night with no lights. You know, all of these extreme things, that's what I was trained to do, and I did it very well. But to go into a hospital and have somebody, a nurse, who has none of that experience to say, well, you can't do that. Well, what do you mean I can't draw his blood? I have to go take the 2-week phlebotomy course to draw his blood? Are you kidding me?
Wait, I have to share a story. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is one of those things that you're just really proud of yourself kind of stories. Okay, I was in Okinawa. I was working in labor and delivery, and we had a patient that didn't want anything to do with the enlisted folks. Okay, you know, whatever. I have plenty of work to do. So she only wanted the officers, the nurses, to take care of her. 30 minutes in, the nurse comes to me and goes, I need you to remove her IV and put in another IV. Okay. Whatever the nurse did, she hadn't done IVs in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And she tried to do it and she made a mess. She caused, you know, pain to this person. So here I am, you know, not wanted. I go in, I take the IV out, I put a new one in, and she goes, the patient goes, well, that was easier than when the nurse tried to do it. Well, yeah, I do this every day. way. Yeah. The nurse doesn't.
All right. Well, we'll leave on that. Thank you very much to listen to Manning the Watch on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shoppe. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now, they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shoppe.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Celebrate America's independence with Anderson Explodes in the great city of Anderson on July 3rd at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Brought to you by the McConnell Foundation, Sierra Pacific Foundation, J.F. Shea, Wind River Resort and Casino, California Highway Patrol, and this radio station. Admission is free. Gates open at 4 p.m. Concert starts at 7 with music from Nashville recording artist Mark Wills. Followed by fireworks at 10. Food and drink are available, including the annual 4-H FFA barbecue. Parking is $5. No outside food or beverage allowed.
I want you to want me.
Get ready for a musical institution. Cheap Trick, live. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. An unbelievable night filled with all the hits. Cheap Trick. 40 years, and the legacy continues. Cheap Trick in an unforgettable performance. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets on sale now at ReadingCivic.com, the Reading Civic box office, or by calling 530-229-0022.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Manning the Watch with Doc. I am Doc, and I have the same group of people staring back at me right now. Well, you were talking, Aileen, about your story, you know, about doing the IV and all that, and someone could only have the officer do that. On that same mental, whatever you want to call it, is seeing the bumper sticker is you will address me as my husband's rank, you know, chief whatever or officer whatever. I'm like, no, mm-hmm. No, no. That person earned a rank. You just happened to marry that person or be with them.
You know, that could be an entire show because I have so many stories of spouses who think they're important because their husband is important. No. You don't get your way because of, you know, who you married.
Yeah.
That's not how the world works.
At Lemoore, I remember the front gate, when they changed the front gate where it had more of the serpentine entrance instead of the straight end. And I was driving that old white truck then, and if I sat too long, that thing would start overheating. And I remember there was an incident, a couple vehicles ahead of us, and it was one of those. And her husband was, and she had the bumper sticker, and her husband was a first class. That'd be an E6. And she was demanding that the young man at the guard at the gate address her as his rank. What nonsense is that? Move your car out of the way. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know. And if your, you know, husband has an issue, he can come talk to my chief or my senior chief or my master chief, you know, and all. So, but there's obviously other things that are, you know, going on with all of that. But, yeah, we all have tons and tons of stories about that kind of stuff. The other thing I just caught on is the GI Bill.
Something change?
Well, nothing's really changed, but they're pushing it again. School, we're right at that point. If you're going to go back to school and you're going to use the GI Bill, you better get on it now. Because, like, you know, Frank and I was talking earlier, the end of August sometime school starts. That's when I start going back to class at night. So, you know, if you're going to do it, now's the time, you know, to do it, especially if you've never used it or done anything. There's some hoops you got to jump through to get it kicked off.
I remember the GI Bill that I had used. You had 10 years from the date that you left service to use it. So yes. That didn't mean at the 10-year mark you could still use it. No, it had to be used within 10 years. And I believe they changed it to 15.
The post 9/11, I think, is 15. Which the post 9/11 is what I'm using now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and then you have the voc rehab part as well, which is our buddy Matt used to finish his.
Well, how many people have we met that didn't use their GI Bill or decided to use it when it was too late?
Yeah, one of us is raising a hand over here.
I've met many, many people, or people that by the time they decided to use it, they only had a year left to use it. Ugh.
Well, let's take a step back to when we were in boot camp. I distinctly remember being in the room. You know, we had to march over to that room, being in one of the classrooms, and the petty officer who was up front. I remember him because he said he was on the USS Essex, and I just happened to know, you know, I don't know a lot of ships, but I had just happened to know that one because there's a lot of Marines that are stationed on that one, and he was a really nice guy. But then they throw that switch. And they were chewing some butt, and they were handing out that paperwork that we all had to sign. What was it, $100 a month or something like that? And they were sign it. You're going to get your GI Bill. Sign it. Sign. They went up and down the lines and made everybody do it. You didn't have to make me do it, but you know, was telling you're going to do this. You know, a year later, whenever it is, I'm with 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. I'm really getting to know my Marines, Oda, Bama, you know all those guys and all. And as time goes by, you know, you're talking, Bamville never signed for his. I don't think Chris signed for his. There were several of those young Marines that never, and none of them could even really remember them offering it to them or tell them, you know, Marine Corps boot camp's a little different than Navy boot camp. I'll definitely give them that. But they have to give them the opportunity to do it. But the emphasis may have been different, especially at that time.
And yeah. I've actually heard that before, where there's Marines who say, they told us we can sign it later. And then by the time they looked into it, they were told it's too late.
It's too late.
I've heard of that story. But I've heard the other one, too, where, hey, I don't want to give up $100 a month for 12 months. You know, that's my money. Well, that $100 for 12 months is going to give you so much more in the long run.
And you really don't miss it. I mean, be honest, you don't miss it. Well, especially for me, because I was in training that whole beyond the first year. So it's not like I had much of a life other than, you know, train, move to a new place, do some more, you know, field medicine or FMSS or whatever it is, you know, and go through all that. And before you know it, it's already done and passed. And then you've got your GI Bill waiting for you when you get out.
Yeah.
So, you know, just different emphasis. But they are pushing that again. A lot of emails going out from the VA, a lot of stuff online. Just reminding everybody, you know, if
yeah,
you
only have like 4 weeks.
A little more a month. You probably about 6 weeks, you know, because we're at the end of
June
right now. Yeah, I'm thinking, what month are we in? Yeah, so we got all of July and into August. So, you know, but right now is the time, and I'm a big advocate of going to school. One of my Marines, Oda, left. He started his own construction company. After a few years, he stopped that and went to school for the fine furniture. And he's, you know, makes amazing stuff and all, but he uses GI Bill and he, you know, put himself through that. Now he's got his own business and he's moving on with that again. And, but it was there when he needed it. I don't know how many of those Marines actually have theirs, but I know a few of them didn't. But if you're going to do it, go to school, use whichever one that is available to you, you know, post 9/11 or
well, okay, I think I told you this, David, but and I think I told everybody that's listening about an old coworker that I had who was worried about paying for his daughter to go to college, right? So a couple days ago I got a text message from him. His name is Doug. Now, Doug and I haven't spoken in 2 years.
2 years,
you know,
at least, yeah.
We both left that job. We just kind of, you know, you lose touch with coworkers. He sent me a text. He said, now I have 2 children using the fee waiver. So here's a person that, by us veterans sharing information, who was very, very worried about how he was going to pay for his daughter to go to college. This was three years ago. And she wanted to go to Simpson, and he told her, no, we can't afford it. And now he has 2 children going to college, and they are both using the fee waiver. So, yeah, you know, you still have to pay for, you know, the dormitory, still have to pay for food, books. There's still expenses, but at least now they don't have to worry about tuition. And all of that came about because I told them.
Well, when you were on, talking about tuition, when you were on, when we were on my account the other day trying to do mm-hmm. the whole Office Outlook thing, what did it say my next semester tuition was?
$3,900.
So, you know, $4,000 twice, that's $8,000, $9,000 a year, plus books, plus everything mm-hmm. else. That's a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
You know, now it's not, you know, an Ivy League, you know, we're not talking, you know, MIT or Caltech or something, but that's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money saved. That's $4,000 saved that Doug doesn't have mm-hmm. to. I don't know what Simpson's is, but probably equivalent.
Can't use Simpson because it's not for private universities.
Oh,
so it
oh,
has
gotcha.
To be a public university or college.
When Stella Cena was here, wasn't she telling
yep.
us about
mm-hmm.
that?
So
and
she
it's something
ended up,
about Oregon, too. We can actually go to Oregon.
Southern Oregon. Because the last I heard, only California and Texas do this. So it's not eligible in every state. But I guess Southern California colleges are now honoring that as well.
Oregon.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Southern Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't care about Southern California. You know, we're in the wrong part of the state to care about them down there anymore.
We care about their tax money, that's
their
for sure.
Their tax money is paving our roads right now, so which is causing a lot of chaos
oh, yeah.
out there.
So,
But the important thing is, though, is if it's available to you, do it. When I was in class, I was last semester, you know, because I'm taking the summer off, I had 2 vets in my class, 2 Army vets, and using their GI Bill. Now, you know, one is going to school because he wants to get his degree. He doesn't know what he's going to do later. The other young man, I know he's got an idea of what he wants to do with his and but go to school. You know, I mean, it doesn't hurt. And if anybody says, I don't want to sit in a room and I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. You know what? 3 out of 5 of my classes is online. You know? So.
But here's the thing. As grown-ups, we do a lot of things we don't want to do.
No, yes,
all right?
Yes,
I just spent hours at GameStop to get a game early because my child wanted it.
Made three trips at GameStop in 2 days to get
in
line.
Did I want to do that?
No.
No.
No, but a little sacrifice for the little guy.
But was that
happy
Butthead again. Happy? Yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah. And he worked to get the money with the cans and all of that. So,
yay for our guy.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to Manning the Watch. We're going to take a quick commercial. And thank you for listening to KCNR 96.5 FM.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The Military Religious Freedom Foundation has sued a veterans hospital in New Hampshire over a Bible which is part of a POW MIA display in the lobby. Now, the group claims the Bible doesn't represent the diversity of faith of veterans using the facility. And further, it violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Well, the Veterans Administration responds that this Bible, which belonged to a World War II POW, proudly shows strength of faith, which is so vital for service members. To keep updated on similar cases, visit pji.org.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Manning the Watch with Doc. I am Doc, and I know Aileen must be doing something important because she's been on her phone the moment we went off the air, so I know it's important.
Well, I have friends who want to share the love that they have for me.
I have none, so.
Ooh, you're going to pay for that one.
I'll tell you this, okay? If you want to meet David and I, we're planning to be at the VFW Post this evening for their tri-tip or chicken dinner. You pick one, and it's only $10. So come on out. Come and meet us. Come have some wonderful food. Come help with a VFW fundraiser. It's at 1251 Oregon Street, and it's from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. But, you know, hey, get there early. Get the food while it's still nice and warm and ready to go. Yeah. And it's mostly because I don't want to be out that late.
So. I want to be headed home before it gets dark because of the crazies walking around the streets. But that's fine. Frank, you've got an announcement for next week also?
Yes. A good friend of everybody that's in the military is Fred Salante, Missing America Project. And he's a gentleman that started to take hold of all the unclaimed veterans' remains and got them to bury at the Veterans Cemetery in all the different states that he's going to be in or come calling in this radio station next week to talk about it.
And that's Missing in America.
Yes.
Yeah, Missing in America. And they go, they find men and women, veterans that are unclaimed or right. or not appropriately done. And I believe, didn't they just do something and they had somebody move to Arlington?
They did it three times.
Three
already.
Times, that's, yeah.
In the last 7 years now, yeah. They've done it three times. They had a convoy go from Reading all the way to Arlington Cemetery, and as they picked them up from all the other MIAP chapters, yeah. The convoy got longer.
Yeah, well, yeah, when you start on this side, there's unless they're going to come from Hawaii, there's not going to be very many starting on this side and all. But, yeah, I can imagine that became quite a big deal, you know, and that's important. Aileen and I, we have a friend of ours down in Butte County, Uncle Bubba. He's retired. He's retired Air Force, and he did he does all of the cemeteries in Butte County. He went through and identified where all of the vets are, and he also identified a lot of men that were buried that don't have, you know, Navy veteran or, you know, different things on it. When he did that, he circled back around, and then he tried to identify all of the women veterans and make sure that information is made available. And I don't know where that information is anymore. And I know after he did Butte County, he was going to kind of spread out a little bit, but I think he's totally retired now. And, you know, he's living the high life right now. He's got his little chair that lifts him up and all. He's happy as heck that, you know, he didn't have to kill his knees anymore. But that's a big thing. And, you know, with Aileen and I, you know, we're with the scouts and we can go put the flags up a couple times a year. And, you know, you wonder how many of those are not identified as vets.
I know. You know, we have the same cemetery where we do go out and put flags. And I feel like every year I find a new gravestone that we might have missed. Because, yeah. You know, a lot of times it doesn't say, you know, U.S. Navy, U.S. Army. It's the caduce. And you have to know, oh, that's a military, that's a corpsman, you know, that's a Navy. You put a flag
Special
there.
Special chiefs, because it would be just their anchor.
Exactly.
Or anchor with a star or two stars and all. But, yeah, that's very important. Very important work that they're doing and, you know, getting anybody, you know,
He goes to the mortuaries and claim them because mortuaries can't release the bodies. They have to hold them until somebody claims them. Sometimes they're there for 100 years. Kid you not.
Yeah, there was a story about that not too long ago of somebody inappropriately disposing of a lot of those unclaimed remains at all.
Well, dying is expensive,
it is expensive.
So I can see them, you know, waiting for somebody to come and claim, but dying is expensive.
They're ones that have all been cremated.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Aileen, you didn't go to D.C. with me when I went back there, but I think I was in 2013, and we went to a group of us vets. We went to Arlington, and, you know, we've seen the tomb, you know, the army guys doing their deal. And we were there when they did the changeover, which is really impressive, you know.
Yeah, but you have to be a certain build, a certain height to do that.
And I agree with that. I
don't qualify. I'm too short.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's that's kind of cool. But right. Not too far from where that is where Audie Murphy is laid to rest. And it's interesting because you'll go around and you'll see some of the, you know, all of the headstones are the same. They're just their markings on it. Their religious beliefs or whatever are different. And every so often you'll see, you know, coin or something. But at Audie Murphy's, it's covered, you know. And my boss at the time was with me and he was asking one of the grounds guys. And he goes, yeah, every day, you know, there's thousands of people go through Arlington every day, pay for the tour and go through it. And he goes, every day they have to clean off his, take all the coins and everything or the different things down because, you know, he's kind of famous and all. And if you don't know who Audie Murphy is, I'm getting the look from Aileen.
I know.
You know because
who that
I told
is.
You.
Exactly.
And all. But it would be interesting to know what they do with all of those. I mean, because they can't just keep storing all of that. But there's probably in D.C., there's probably a VFW or something, Frank, that just got boxes, boxes of coins from everywhere. You know,
I never got into the whole coin thing.
I never did the coin, but shirts. I got everywhere I went, you know, I had T-shirts. But I never really got into the coin thing until we met Malcolm in Lemoore. And he really hammered on that coin. But that was my last duty station, so I really didn't care after that. But I never really got into that because I never had a desk. I never had, you know, I was in the field all the time, so I didn't have anywhere to display them.
I just felt like the coin thing just wasn't me. It just didn't feel like me. Like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? Display why?
Even the ones I have are in a box in my desk at home.
Yeah, so. I don't want to display it at my desk because then people are going to come to my desk and look at my stuff. No, no thank you. Yeah,
well,
put
yeah,
it in a drawer.
Especially your desk at work. Yeah, I wouldn't do it there. But, yeah, I wonder, you know, how much of that they have to clean up every day, you know.
It's pretty amazing.
And it's interesting when you go on the tour there and you go by where the old original cemetery was, and the headstones are different. You know, they were whatever the family could pay for or anything. And then you turn around and you just see a sea of little white, you know, the little rounded off white ones everywhere. You know, it looks like a blanket going through there. And you're I don't know, $1,000 a month or some ridiculous number. And you're just kind of shaking your head like, how can they'd have to be doing like 10 a day, you know, or something, uh-huh. You know, and then as soon as we were standing there, there went a progression of people going, following, you know, it's like, holy moly, they do. It's busy all day long here.
See, the more we talk about it, the more I love the idea of just putting me on the ground and putting a tree above me and let me nourish this tree and just don't cut the tree down, you know. I don't mind being tree food or, you know, donating my body to science because the doctors need to learn on something.
They don't want this body, no. No, they'll find everything wrong over here. We have our own veteran cemetery out here. We got to meet Mark some time ago. That's out there. Great guys. Great. Love that cemetery. The Air Force monument that's out there. Not Air Force, but I like that monument. Just the way that it looks and all. I still would like to get together with some folks and do a Navy one. The gentleman who did the monument, the Vietnam veteran ones, he and I had a nice conversation about that. And I think we were both on the same page. I would definitely like to sit down with somebody and work that and make something that we can start moving forward on that. And then maybe nudge some of the rest of the branches or the individual different representatives out there and get something going on. Because the more we have there, then the more, I don't want to say recognition, but the more permanent something becomes when there's monuments and there's, you know.
Well, it provides an opportunity for education.
Yes.
Because, you know, people go to cemeteries or they go to places. You know, there's the veteran monument in Anderson. And that just gives an opportunity for the older generation to educate the younger generation, not necessarily about war itself, but what really is a veteran? You know,
yes.
People don't.
Who was a veteran? Uh-huh. Because all of those plaques and Anderson, that's a name. And that was a human being. And they did something. They served their country. And then they had a life after that. I like the one in Anderson. We haven't been there in a while, but I like the one in Anderson.
Yeah,
it's really nice. And it's neat, you know, the way they put it in between the buildings there. And if I remember right, I don't know if that's the building burned down years and years ago and it got cleaned out. But that little part right there in Anderson looks like it's going through a little resurgence right now, too, and kind of moving along and getting built up a little bit.
And you see their donation boxes all over the place.
Yeah, we go to Vittles, you know, once a month or so, and they've got them there and their little flyers and stuff. So, if anybody has any questions, anybody wants us to look into anything, you guys can get a hold of us on our email at manningthewatch@outlook.com. And We kind of have a Facebook page. We're struggling with that right now. We're going to be changing some things. We talked to the captain a couple weeks ago, so we're going to be modifying some stuff on that, and it will actually be a functioning Facebook page. And then we're looking into expanding a little bit more outside, away from the radio station as well. So other than that, thank everybody for listening to Manning the Watch on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life.